A Problem Shared with Tony and Val on Kerry Today.
Tony and Val, good morning to you both, and thank you for joining us this morning.
Good morning, Tasha.
Hope you're keeping well. I will get straight into this dilemma that we have. Listener says, one of our young children, they tell lies a lot of the time. They're very upset by this and they want the little girl to stop. And they want to get your thoughts and your perspective on how you might deal with this problem. They don't say how old the child is.
Yeah, I'll go first on this one. First of all, I don't think it's necessarily that children tell lies. Now I agree with the listener. First of all, children have a different view of the world than we have, and their imagination is very, very strong. So it's not. I wouldn't put the word lie on it, on the situation, and I certainly, listener, I wouldn't use the word lie to the child. I might use the word untruth, but I wouldn't use the word lie. The other thing is that you are right that the child has to develop a sense of telling what is commonly perceived as the truth. So I think what I would do in this situation is, on one occasion, I would say to the child, don't know whether to believe you or not, and I would act on not believing the child, and then, get it gently across to the child that they have to tell what is the general perception.
Tony?
Yeah, I'd agree totally with that. And, of course, the other side of it is that truthfulness is the foundation of all human virtues. And training children to know the difference between lies and truth is very, very important. Now, at a very young children, 3, 4, maybe 5 or 6 even, have difficulty, as Val said, in separating what's truthfulness and what's lying. But at the same time, what I would suggest is don't get cross with the child, but try and model truthfulness, make remarks about, I must tell the truth, and what is the truth, and if there are stories and storybooks that involve telling the truth, try and dig those out and read them to the child. That's the sort of thing I think that would work best.
I think also, if there's a situation, and to be quite honest with you, I might set it up where I'm at fault, I'm going to be kind of reprimanded or whatever, and I tell the truth. Because, I might say afterwards, I knew I was in trouble, but I had to tell it as it was, because if I don't, nobody will believe me.
Yeah, I mean, there'd be one thing I'd add to what I had said already, really, is don't let her off with her lies.
Yeah, but don't punish her.
Don't challenge in a sort of, frightening sort of way to the child. But say, no, I don't think you're telling the truth there, and don't let her off.
And we're not talking here about, because children, particularly small children, have very active imaginations and they might be thinking about imaginary friends. We're not talking about situations like that where a child is talking about having an imaginary friend or riffing on their imagination. We're talking about situations where a child did something and it was clear the child did it and denied it, and when it was obviously a lie.
Oh yeah, when they want something. In fact, we had a story, Val tells it quite frequently, of a little girl, I think it was, her and her brother were with the grandmother and they got ice cream. But she said, she told her father or mother that she didn't get an ice cream and that granny had given it to the little boy but not to her. And so the father rang the grandmother and she said, no, not at all. Both children got an ice cream. And the little girl came up again and said, no, granny's telling lies.
What a demon.
Another one of a child's plait that was cut off. Somebody told me this. And the child said, granny did it. One plait was cut off. Granny did it.
Why does Granny always have to take the fall for these things? That's not fair.
Well, probably because the mum and dad won't fall for it. And Granny is absent, so Granny didn't cut off the child's ponytail.
We lost you there for a moment there, Val. You might just say that. The line just went dead for a second. Could you just repeat what you said?
Most of the time, I cannot confirm when the child says that I cut off the ponytail. I can't confirm. I'm not there to confirm that I did or I didn't. So that's why, I think.
Granny is an easy target, in other words.
Granddad.
Anyway, I would say to the parent, you know, not to worry. I mean, lying is common among a lot of children at that sort of level. But, you know, challenge it, but don't get over upset about it.
Yeah, and as Tony says, the child has to learn to say it as it is. Because otherwise, it'll like be the story of the boy who cried wolf. I wouldn't know when to believe, you know, whether it's actually the way it was or it wasn't. But you know what Tony said, that truthfulness is the foundation of all human virtue. I mean, I remember having a client once years ago, and she said that her fiancé told lies to everybody. And that, you know, like, and I said, the clincher with this client was, how are you going to explain to your children when their father tells lies? And the father used to boast about it. Ha! I had them. I told them a bloomer and they believed it. So, like, you know, but that was the clincher. How can you, like, as Tony said, the parents have to be seen to tell the truth.
I hope that woman didn't marry that man if he was a pathological liar.
Oh, they didn't. The client got it. When I said about the child, she said, oh my God, I can't put up with that. Excuse me. So that was the clincher for her.
Yeah, because everything, ultimately, how society functions, how our own lives function, how we interact with other people, you know, the foundation is trust. And if trust isn't there, then you have a breakdown.
And it's particularly dangerous now because truth is bent. And there are armies of people out there learning how to twist the truth. Spin doctors, as they call them. And, like, you look at Russia. Russia is totally blocking, you know, anything but their message. And we live in a society where, as it were, lying is more profitable than truth.
Yeah. And I think it brings up the other issue, that the mom and the dad will model to their children. And I'm like, as a parent, I'm uncomfortable with that fact, but I accept it as it's true, and that therefore that my actions and Tony's actions will ultimately be the actions of our children.
That's profound. And Tony and Val, we've just got a comment in here. I'm just going to read it out and then we'll take a pause. We need to take a break. But while we're taking the break, you might mull over it. Listeners got in touch to say, my 16-year-old is telling lies to get mum into trouble with dad. What can I do, please? I'll leave it there with you to ponder during the break, and you might mull over it. And when we come back, we'll return to that query from the listener who's troubled, understandably troubled, about their 16-year-old telling lies. And these lies are being used to get the mother into trouble with the father. Thank you for getting in touch, listener. And if anyone else has anything they'd like to share with Tony and Val, in confidence, we want to emphasise, text or WhatsApp us to 083 300 3300.
A problem shared with Tony and Val on Kerry Today.
Tony and Val, back to that query I put to you before the break. A listener says, my 16-year-old is telling lies to get mum into trouble with dad. What can I do, please?
Well, the first thing I'd say here is, what's driving that behaviour? That's serious sort of stuff. And there must be some sort of dynamic behind it. If it's consistent, and it, we'll take it that it is, they wouldn't be writing about it otherwise. It's a very bad thing indeed. what needs to happen here is that the mum and dad get together, consult on what's happening, and work out a strategy for dealing with it, because it's pretty serious stuff.
Yeah, I go along with that. It is, and I want to thank the listener for getting in touch. Doesn't say, I think, Tressa, whether it's the son or the daughter that's telling lies.
No, just says 16-year-old.
Oh. Okay, well, whatever it needs to be gotten to the bottom of. And I go along with Tony's suggestion of consulting with the father. Now, both parents have to step up to the mark and make it and take action on it. It's not enough that one parent take action on it. Both have to be on the same page. The other thing I think I would do as an adjunct is I would consult privately with my 16-year-old and say, this is happening, not you are, which I nearly said, this is happening, it's got to stop. If it doesn't stop, I'm going to call it when it happens.
A unified front is really needed.
Yes.
Both parents
need to
be completely unified on this.
Absolutely.
Yeah. The mum and dad need to get together, put their heads together, and work out what they're going to do or say if it happens again, and then deal with it. Don't leave it pass.
And it will be more powerful if the dad deals with it and says, I know what's happening here, and I'm not going along with it.
Tony?
Yeah, I mean, that's basically it. I mean, if mother and father aren't talking to each other for whatever reason, then that could be the reason that it's happening in the first place. So I think they need to sit down and carefully work out how they will deal with it.
I wish them the very best. And I said, I thought it was very important what you pointed out there, Val, not using the you term as you are doing this, you, more of a this is happening, and that would, I imagine, help de-escalate the situation in the sense and make the 16-year-old more likely to open up as to why they're behaving in this way.
Yeah, I wouldn't actually ask them to open up, because the chances of that happening, I think, are very slim. But what I would do is and it would be better if the father did this rather than the mother, but both parents need to say, both parents need to kind of say to the 16-year-old, I know what's going on and I will call it in future.
Look, if
what you don't want to do is trigger an adversarial response, because we're living in an adversarial world. Everything, even from education to law to business, is adversarial. And if that happens in the family, it will create huge problems.
Yeah, the other thing I would say is like what Tony said, if the mother and father are fighting, be sure of it, listeners. Children notice everything. They notice absolutely. They're like video recorders. The video camera is rolling. They're rotten at interpreting it correctly.
Yeah, I'd also add, and it might sound as if it is judgmental on the parents, but the parents themselves should ask themselves, what are we doing that might have caused this sort of response? And it's always a good question to ask yourself in these sort of situations. Have I done anything that might cause a response like this?
Well, we wish that family the very, very best. And thank you, listener, for getting in touch. I'd also like to hear from you, the listener, if you've been in a similar situation where a child was lying, such as this 16-year-old is telling lies to get the mother into trouble with the father, and how you as a family dealt with it, approached it. Maybe there are deeper, darker reasons as to why this teenager is lying. But as they said, Tony and Val are give a very sound approach and perspective as to how they would deal with the situation. And thank you, listener, for getting in touch. If anyone has any views, they can text or WhatsApp us to 083 0818 3300 3300. Now, Tony and Val, we'll get to this. We may have to return to it next week because unfortunately we're running out of time. But it's about a wife. She's got in touch with her husband. She says if he does something silly or wrong, what he does is he just twists the situation. He doesn't say, oh, right, I messed up there or my bad. He just, and he tries to blame someone or something else. He's very strong in his belief that he is not to blame. He's so strong in this that he convinces a lot of people that he's not responsible. The wife is beginning to resent his behaviour, understandably, and she now won't let him off on a point, and she wonders if she's doing the right thing.
Well, I would say absolutely right, but how it's done is very, very important. Again, you know, if it becomes adversarial, it's a lost case straight away. So it needs to be challenged, but certainly not adversarially or aggressively. You know, we grow up, our bodies grow up, but behaviours are set in childhood, and when we grow up physically, our behaviours don't grow up with us. So it could be something from his childhood. I would sort of bring that question into it. Has he had a difficult childhood that might be sort of giving him this totally fighting the world that he isn't to blame under any circumstances for anything that happens?
We'll pause this, Tony, because unfortunately we're over time, but we'll come back to it next week.